Well, it's good to be in church, amen? And I am thankful for the opportunity to come and minister just a simple word that God gave me. And if you're worshiping with us for the very first time, whether online or in person, I'm Pastor Tim. You've already met my beautiful wife, Angela. We announced last Sunday, in case you weren't here, or if you're new to our church, our lead pastors, Pastor Lynn and Pastor Pam, as a church, we are able to bless them and send them on a season of rest to get renewed and recharged. How many know that we need that in our lives? We need to make sure this is right. We need to make sure this is right as well, and then all of our relationships that's all around us. And so if you'll continue to pray for those two amazing folks, keep them in your prayers, keep them, reach out to text them, whatever you need to do, and Lord, let them know that you're praying for them, amen? And so I'm thankful that, I said it last week, I'm thankful that the church is not built upon a person, amen? I'm glad our church is not built upon a personality, although I love my brother-in-law. He's an incredible, I'm just glad that a church is not built upon a man or a woman, amen? But it's built upon Jesus. See, church was Jesus' idea, amen? It's his idea. And so we as a church, it's not a building, it's not an institution, it is actually you and I. You and I are the church. You and I make up the church. And so it's important. Because of that, because the church is made up of men and women, young and old, of all sizes, all shapes, all backgrounds, all ways that you came to know Christ. And so it's important for you and I to be healthy, physically, spiritually, emotionally. It's important for you and I to be growing in all those areas as well. Can I have an amen? Spiritual health and is what God laid on my heart as I was laying on the floor of my office this week. You're thinking, man, he is laying before the Lord praying over me and my family and my kids. No, actually, I was not doing any of the above. Actually, I was spending time creating a skip chart. All the teachers out there, you may know what a skip chart is. But what God laid on my heart that on Tuesday, I think it was on Tuesday, it may have been Wednesday, but I was super busy. I had emails stacking up. I had text messages. I had voicemails. I had phone calls that I needed to return. So if I didn't return your phone call or your text message, I apologize. But I was on the floor that day. And God spoke to me. Because I was very busy and I have a very, very active, very inquisitive, very demanding 9-year-old named Sophia. She is her mother's daughter. And so I can't wait. I am one of those parents. I can't wait till school to start. Amen? Only one of y'all. Let me just say, I don't care what, I am ready for school to start. Amen? And so I have been in one of the most busiest weeks I can remember, certainly since I stepped into staff a year and a half ago. This week has been incredibly, incredibly busy and challenging and just in every way possible. And so there I was on that, it was Wednesday actually, there I was on a Wednesday, I was pecking away on my keyboard, I was trying to return emails, once again my phone was stacking up, I had people in and out of my office, it was just a zoo. And my daughter walks in, and we went to lunch that day, I picked her up from summer camp, and she said, hey daddy, I need to go by Dollar Tree, I want to create a skip chart. I didn't know what a skip chart was, and so she had to show me a picture, but it's a multiplication chart, you put it on numbers 1 through 100, and she said, daddy, I need to go buy some poster board, I need to buy, there's some kind of tape that you buy, like art tape, what the heck is that? I'll think of it. Anyhow, it's decorative art tape, right? And she says, I need to buy markers and I need all this kind of. And so my initial response as a dad is, I don't have time to do that. I don't have time to go by Dollar General. I need to get back to the church. We're gonna shovel lunch in you, and then I got to get back to the church. Have you ever been there before? One of y'all. Well, I got one. Have you ever been where you're just so busy and your daughter or your son is asking really to do something that's really beneficial and really good, but you're like, oh, I don't have time for that. Just be quiet. I'm going to feed you a cheeseburger, and we're going to go back to whatever we're doing. Amen? I was having one of those days. And so I said, no, I don't have time. We're going to go da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, I knew that I had to somehow entertain my daughter because I was coming back to the church to answer all of your emails, all the things that's on my plate right now. And so I said, okay, fine, let's go to Dollar General. So we raced in the Dollar General. We picked up a couple pieces of poster board. We got a couple other things. I said, we're out the door. Well, Daddy, can I have that? No, come on, we got to go. We got to go. And so anyhow, off we went. And so there we were. We came back to the church. And she said, now I need your help. Yeah, you know where this is going. Now I need your help to make the board. I said, absolutely not. You should go to the one source that all things you can do. Not your mother, of course, because she was out of town. YouTube. So I said, here's my phone. Go to YouTube and figure it out. I don't have time. And so there she went. She went off to YouTube, where all things are known and possible. And she comes back no less than 55 times into my office because, of course, I've sent her out of my office because I can't concentrate when she's asking me 54 times what to do. On the 55th time, she said, Daddy, this is what I created. So you can't really see it that good from back there, probably. The lines are crooked. She didn't count to 10 because you got to do 10 across, 10 down. It's more like 12 down and 9 across. The lines are all jacked up. And she used up half of the board to say what she was going to create, which was a number chart. I'm like, well, why did you do that? I don't know. Why didn't you use a ruler? I don't know. Well, I need you to erase all these lines. So I proceeded to say, you need to do this, 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 and this. And so off she went again. By now, I was really agitated and really frustrated at her. And so she comes back in and literally she started having a meltdown right in my office. Full meltdown. Started crying. She fell on the floor. And I said, whoa, no, 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 no. Remember, I'm real busy. No, I don't have time for this. Why are you melting down? You're the one that wanted to do this chart. Mom's dad's going to have any help up here? You're the one that wanted to do this project. Why has this project now become my project and you're melting down? She had no answer. Why? Because she was melting down. And there I was, pecking away at my keyboard, trying to figure out what I needed to do next, who I needed to talk to next, how I needed to build the church single-handedly by myself, that somehow, some way, that God is dependent on me to do anything and everything in order to hold the church up. And God spoke to me. God spoke to me. God said, the Holy Spirit said these words to me. Are you healthy? And do you want to produce children that are healthy? And clear as I'm standing up here this morning, the Holy Spirit said, get on the floor with her and create a chart. So I shut my laptop. I turned off my phone. I closed my door so I wouldn't get interrupted. And we created a number chart together. You're thinking, so what? Well, to my daughter, that meant everything to her. To my daughter, that meant that she was the most important thing, not ministry. Not my emails. Not your phone calls. And she stopped crying. She had a big old smile on her face. And she said, thank you, Daddy. Amen. Title of my message is, So What's Next? God laid this message on my heart. This is not what I was planning to preach on this Sunday when the week started out. But God spoke to me through this simple, through my daughter, through the heart and the life and this example of a 9-year-old. I want to give you just a few things that God laid on my heart in terms of what a healthy life looks like. I didn't come to condemn a busy dad or a busy mom. I didn't come to throw you under the bus or make you feel bad about how many plates that you spin and all the irons that you have in the fire. But my heart is to hold a mirror up to you. God was holding up a mirror to me that day. Amen. God was wanting to know, where are your priorities? For see, I believe that although my wife and I are humbled and honored to stand up here before you and help lead this incredible church, but I know that if I lose my wife, if I lose my kids, I've lost them. Amen? And I know that if I walk away from here, because I know that I'll always choose my wife and my kids, I know that you'll find another pastor. But my daughter won't find another dad. Amen? My wife won't find another husband, certainly not as good looking as me. Amen? Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Fellas, you got to help me up here, guys. The Bible, although the Bible does say when you find a good thing, amen? When you find a good thing, you hold on to her, amen? Can I hear an amen from the guys? 29 years into this, we've got a few miles under the tires, but I thank God that the next 29 is going to be even better than the first 29. Amen. I speak that over our marriages. I speak that over single men and single women, divorced men, divorced women. Amen. Widowers. I thank God that Jerry, on this Sunday morning, he was here to help demonstrate what it looks like when God does one thing, you do something else. Amen. You pursue, you put God first, he'll take care of the rest. Come on, let's dive into this. I'm going to go fast because I don't have much time this morning. First thing, I want to share this with you. First thing of what a healthy, God-honoring life looks like. Write this down. Please take notes. God's been ministering to me every single morning. This morning, I was up at 4:45 in the morning. I have no idea. It was just me and my dog. She was happy I was up. I can tell you that. First thing, I want you to write down what a healthy life looks like. It prioritizes seeking and speaking the word of God. It prioritizes seeking and speaking the word of God. For you see, Matthew 4:4 says, Jesus was talking. I like when Jesus talks. I want to listen. Amen. But he answered, it is written. In other words, he was talking back to the devil who was trying to tempt him in that matter. He said, for it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. For you see, we can't just live on natural food. We have to live on spiritual food. So if you and I are not consuming the word of God each and every day, then you and I will be spiritually unhealthy. You and I on the inside, we will be starving our soul, starving our spirit. Well, Tim, that's awful simple. I know, but are we doing it? Are we doing it? Are we looking to the word of God as a source of food? That every morning this week, I've just said, Holy Spirit, do whatever you got to do on the inside of me. Change my schedule. Shut down some things in my life. Let me go to bed early. Whatever I need to do, because I am desperate to spend time with you and your word of God. Well, Tim, you don't understand. I have to be at work at this hour. It's 6:00 in the morning. I got to wake up at 5. I got to take care of the dog. I got to get my wife. Then go to bed earlier so you can wake up at 4. Amen? Are you with me, church? In order for you and I to be healthy, we must seek and speak the word of God. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the what? The tongue. In other words, we got to be able to not only know the word, but I got to be able to speak the word. So in other words, when you and I bump into a situation where you're coming, where the enemy is coming against you, your kids aren't acting right, your wife is not acting right, your dog is not acting, I got to know the word in me. I can't call Pastor Tim. I got to know the word and I got to speak the word. So how do you do that? How do you get to a place that whenever you bump into a situation, Not if, but when. When you bump into a situation, then you got to hear the word. You got to practice a word. You got to speak the word. You got to practice a word. You got to hear the word. You got to speak the word. Are you with me? It's not that complicated. My challenge to us as a church is, how many of you all are doing it? How many of you have established a habit of getting in your word and speaking a word like never before? Feeding your faith, feeding your soul, feeding your spirit, feeding your mind with the word of God. For see, we feed our minds with all sorts of stuff. We do. I'm just as guilty as you are. We will binge watch on Netflix, but yet we don't have time to pick up the word of God for 15 minutes? My God. We will binge watch and sit there and watch Olympics for hours. NFL, Major League Baseball, whatever it may be. We'll go to a football game or a baseball game for hours and we have no complaints. But God requires me to get in the word of God. And somehow, someway, I don't have time. Hey, God's just been working on me, y'all. You're getting the overflow of what God's been doing in me. Amen? You don't have time to get in God's word? That's a lie of the enemy. Amen? Come on, second thing. I got to go fast. Second thing, a life that is healthy. First one was what? Seeks and speaks the word of God. Second one, a life that is healthy is generous. It's generous in your love. It's generous in your time, your money. It's generous in your service. And it's generous in prayer towards others, towards your family, towards your friends, and towards the church. 1 Corinthians 13:7 says, love bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things, and it endures all things. In other words, we're supposed to love sacrificially. Are you saying that I have to love when I am not loved? Exactly. Christ did it. Christ did it. He took a chance on you that somehow, someway, through him dying and him loving you, that somehow you would love him back. Amen? I thank God I'm in a room and a camera full of folks that know Christ. But I'm believing God there's a lot of people on the other side of these doors that have never experienced Christ. They don't know Jesus, or they know of Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. So how many know our love is what's going to change a life? It's not your Facebook post. It's not your fancy car. It's not your religion, amen? It's not the color of your skin. It's not how much money you got in your wallet. It is none of those things. The Bible says the love will change a heart. So whose responsibility at? Yours, mine, as believers. We have to pray for one another like never before. We have to be generous in our time of prayer. If all, I'm going to do a little check on you. If all you're praying about is you, something's messed up. Amen? How about you pray for me this week? How about you pray for my wife? How about you pray for your neighbor? How about you pray for that coworker that absolutely aggravates the stew out of you? Anybody got one of those? They won't shut up. They just talk all the time. Pray for them, amen? Pray for your family. Pray for your husband that doesn't know God, that's away from God. He's struggling who he is. Maybe he has an addiction. Pray for your wife that she is up to her eyeballs in all the things that she can't. Pray for them, amen? You know, it's easier for me to tear down than to build up. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed it's easier for me to tear down than to build up? It's easy for me to tear my wife down and those that are around me than it is to build them up. I have to be intentional. Say that word, intentional. I have to be intentional to build my wife up. I have to be intentional to build you up as a man, as a woman. Amen? So that's the second thing. You have to be generous in your love, your time, your money, your service, your prayer towards family, friends, others in this church. Number three, love this one. I wrote this down. Your healthy life will be fruit producing. Your healthy life will produce fruit. Simply defined, what is being fruit producing? It's to be like Jesus. Less like Tim. I know that my life is healthy because I am producing fruit out of my life. What is fruit? Glad you ask. Galatians 5, I would encourage you to highlight this in your Bible. This is a way to measure where you're at in terms of your healthiness as a man or as a woman. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and, ooh, the nasty one. Ooh, self-control. Look at your neighbor. Say, neighbor, are you under control? Self-control. That's how you know that you are fruit producing. I like what Pastor Dan 2 weeks ago he preached, that we don't simply just cave. We don't let dysfunction become our normal. Amen. We just don't accept the dysfunction in my life, but rather we ask the Holy Spirit in a service like this, stick up a mirror, God. Change me from the inside out. Work on my dysfunction that's on the inside of me. Don't let me become accustomed to the things that I see and the things that I do, the things that I struggle with. But God, let me be fruit producing. Lord, shore up, Father God, the areas where I'm sloppy and I'm lazy and I procrastinate. God, work on those areas. Don't let me walk out of this auditorium. Don't let me turn off this camera with the same condition. But change me. Is that anybody's prayer this morning? It's my prayer. I want to become more like Jesus. How are we going to rescue the world out there? Become more like Jesus. How are you going to shine in your workplace? Become more like Jesus. How are you going to show to your husband or your wife that this thing is really real because you come to church every single Sunday? No. Your church attendance is not going to change anybody's life. Actually, your church attendance may not even change your life. But God, I want to be more like you. And I want that to be fruit producing. Number four, are you staying with me? Come on. If you're with me, say amen. I've got a couple more. A healthy life craves, somebody shout, craves. Love this. A healthy life craves praise and praying in the Holy Ghost. A healthy life craves to praise. Psalm 34:1. I've been reading through Psalm every morning. I've been reading through the Proverbs every morning. And I just ran across this early in the week. And I just been quoting this in my spirit all week long. For I will bless the Lord whenever it is convenient. Seriously? That's what my version says, Tim's version. Amen. No, actually, the Bible says, I will bless the Lord when? At all times. In all things. Amen? At all times, no matter what. For I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually, love that word, continually be in my what? In my mouth. The only way a praise is going to come out of your mouth is if this is right. We talked about this last week. If this isn't right, this isn't right. And sure as heck, this isn't right. Amen? For you see, praise creates spiritual strength. You need to write that down. Praise creates spiritual strength. For you see, God knew in advance that you and I would walk through some challenging times. Are you telling me, Tim, that whenever all hell is breaking loose in my marriage, in my kids, in my job, whatever situation may be, are you telling me that I still need to praise God? Yes, absolutely. In fact, I would argue that is when you need to praise God even more. Why? Because God is right there in the middle. He is right there with you. All I have to do is lift up a praise and say, God, you got this. God, you got this. Lord, I praise you. Father, I thank you. God, I don't understand what I'm walking through. God, I don't understand why people are hurling things at me. But God, I'm just going to praise you anyways. I'm going to lift up my eyes. I'm going to get off of the couch. I'm going to get out of the pit. And Lord, I choose to praise you. God, I don't understand your timing. I don't know why you haven't moved in my life. I don't know why this is happening with my kids, but God, I choose to praise you. God, I don't know what you're doing in my life. I don't know where you're taking me in my life, but God, I choose to praise you. I'm telling you, it will change the atmosphere of your home. It will change the atmosphere of your car. How about instead of listening to country music? How about instead of listening to talk radio? Oh, yeah, I'm going there. How about instead of listening to Fox News, CNN, whatever. How about you fast that this week, y'all? Turn it off. Instead, fill your car with Praise 95 or whatever your favorite genre of music is, but it better have Jesus on the inside of it. Amen? I'm not saying that secular artists are born-again believers. I'm sure of it. But I just know what I need to be filling, what you and I need to be filling. I need to be filling my mind with a praise, with Jesus. Will anybody join me this week and fast news and fast whatever pollutes on the inside of you that prevents you from praising God? Will you do that? Whatever prevents you from not having an opportunity to pray in the Holy Spirit? Are you telling me that if I don't speak in tongues, I won't go to heaven? I didn't say that. What I did say is that the Bible says in Jude, it says that if you do pray in the Holy Spirit, it will build you up. I don't know about you, but we live in a day, in a season, in an age which you need to be built up. Amen? I have so many things. We have so many things. Angie and I have talked about this week. We have so many things on the inside of us that we want to get out to you, to our community. I thank God that we're going to be giving away 300 backpacks, which, by the way, when you walk out of the foyer this morning, they're $15. We're looking for some sponsors. We're still short, but it's all by faith. Amen? So if you got 15 bucks to spare at least, buy a bunch of backpacks. But I just know there's so much on the inside of us that we have to get out of these four walls. It's not going to happen any other way than being built up. Amen? If you're a young person listening to me on a college campus or high school or middle school, wherever it may be, man, can you imagine walking down the halls of a high school today? Man, if there's ever a season in which you need to be built up as a young person, as a teacher, as an administrator, whatever job you may do, amen? So we must be healthy. We must be seeking and speaking God's word. We must be generous. We must pray in the Spirit, and we must praise. Two more. You guys okay? No one's left, so that's a good sign. Number five, we must have a healthy thought life. In order for you and I to truly measure ourselves in terms of whether we are healthy or not, check your thought life. Is it toxic or is it healthy? Because I guarantee you, if your thought life is toxic, that makes you toxic in your spirit. Amen? If all you're feeding yourself, if all that you're putting in, as I was just saying, if all that is toxic on the inside, you have to cut that off. You have to bring every thought into the captivity. You have to bring everything you hear, and you got to focus on what you're thinking about. Amen? I choose to focus on things above and not things on this earth. Amen? That doesn't mean I'm ignorant. That doesn't mean I'm uneducated. It just means that that's not what I feast on. Amen? That's not what I fill my ears with. That's not what I think about. That's not what I debate on Facebook. That's not what I look forward to. What I want to do instead, I want to feast on God. I want to say, God, what do you say over my life? God, what do you say over our church? God, what do you say over this amazing group of men and women that call Jubilee home? God, what do you say over me as a dad, as a mom, as a father, as a husband? God, what do you say? Those are the thoughts that I want to fill my life with. I don't have time this morning to go through in a powerful exercise, but we were in Orlando a couple weeks ago, and one of the speakers just did an illustration. I'll never forget it in my life. And it was talking about capacity. And there literally wasn't a dry eye in the whole room. There's 300 or 400 people. And she did this powerful example, and I don't have time to go into all of it, but she had two glasses of water and two empty glasses of water. Both these glasses represented a husband and wife, man, woman, in a home. And she just started talking about, if you and I don't have the capacity to praise, if you and I don't have the capacity to spend time in God's word, if you and I don't have the capacity to spend time dating your wife or dating your husband, going out on a date, if you and I don't have the capacity to sit down on the floor of your office and make a multiplication chart, if you and I don't have the capacity in order to give our time and give our talent and give our treasure, then there's something on the inside of you that needs to be fixed. And so she did this powerful example where she took these two glasses of water and she just walked through a day in my life. Things pulling on you, tugging on you, and all through the day, things just getting dumped into this glass, and this glass starts overfilling and overwhelming. Pretty soon, you come home and you take that what's left of that jar of water, and you pour more water in, and you start yelling at your wife or yelling at your kids, and all this is because God never reset your capacity to take on more. Help us, Holy Spirit. Help us, Holy Spirit, to work on the inside of this. But first, you got to get to here. Amen? I'm feeling the Holy Spirit working on some things in here. Amen? You got to have a healthy thought life. So as the heart is, so as the heart believes, so as the heart feasts on, the mouth does what? It speaks. Last one. Come on, worship team. Last one. If you and I are going to be healthy in our spiritual walk, if you and I are going to be healthy, growing and maturing and not relying on milk, not relying on someone to come behind us and kind of scoop you along and pat you on the tushy and always having to be encouraging and always having to wait on you and always having to check on you and always having to watch the cycles of up and down. You're one day you're in church, the next day 3 months you're not in church, and then you're back in church the next Sunday, and you're here for a couple Sundays, and then you're back down and we don't see you. There's a cycle that's happening in your life. My role or our job as leaders, as pastors, is to make sure that you grow in your maturity with Christ. Amen? In other words, if you're in the same place that you were 5 years ago, even 5 weeks ago, that means there's something wrong with how you're approaching this work called the gospel, the working out of your salvation. You and I are responsible for our salvation. My role is to push you. Amen? But it's not to pull you. My role is to preach the word. Our role as leaders is to preach the word. Your responsibility is to say, God, here I am. Here I am. Work on the inside of me. Work on the inside of me. That's my prayer in this season. Last one. A healthy life doesn't stop. Spiritually. If you're going to be spiritually healthy, you don't stop. Flip over, if you would, to Hebrews 12. If you underline things in your Bible, I actually already had it underlined in my Bible. It's such an incredible verse. The writer of Hebrews said, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. Let us set aside every weight and every sin which clings, which grabs a hold, which pulls us back, which tries to make us get in the ditch. It tries to stop you. It tries to hinder you. It tries to intimidate you. It tries to bring fear and doubt and disbelief. He says, let us run. Once you have shed that weight, once you have shed religion, that's what he's talking about there, man-made rules that God never intended. He was talking to a bunch of believers. He was talking to believers. He was saying, hey, all your rules and all your do's and all your don'ts, It is slowing you down. It is stopping you. Look around. All these incredible men and women that went before you, they finished. So he said, hey, you, take off. Take it off. Shed whatever is trying to hold you and I back from being a healthy man, a healthy woman of God. Take off the sin. In other words, you and I can't be struggling with sin issues that stay day and week and month and year after year. Either the Bible works or it doesn't. Let's shut this church down unless the Bible doesn't work. Well, I choose to believe that the Bible works, because if he can do it for me, he can do it for you. For see, I can stand here before you this morning and I can tell you that God has set me free. I can stand here before you and tell you I'm not a perfect man. I'm not a perfect husband or a perfect father, but I can tell you I am a changed man. I am a changed father, and I am a changed husband. I can tell you that I have stripped off anything that would hold me back. I have stripped off every weight that the world tries to put on me. Accusations, lies, labels. I choose to take it off this morning. I choose to be the kind of father, the kind of husband, the kind of man that God, you want me to be. For you see, I believe that failure is never final when the Father is in the room. For I believe failure is never final when the Father is in the room. So my challenge to us, to you as a man, as a woman, whether you're watching online or in this auditorium this morning, is will you get up and move? Will you pick yourself back up if you have stopped pursuing the Word of God? If you've stopped praying, stopped praising, stopped being generous, if you've stopped doing the things that God has called you and I to do as a man, as a woman, today's your day. Today's your day. Today's your day to see God do something supernatural, to see God change what you thought was a weight, to shed it off. Amen? To shed it off. For you see, you don't have to walk out that door the same way that you came in. I don't know about you, but I want a church. I want a church. I want a church that's known by our love. I want a church that's known that if you are broken, if you're in despair, if you're hurting in your soul, if the devil has been after you, I want a church that God says, it's known by love. It's known by growth. I want to be helping pastor a group of people that want to grow, that want to be healthy. Am I talking to anybody this morning that you choose, I want to grow, I want to be healthy, I choose the gospel? If that's you, will you stand on your feet? You say, Pastor Tim, that's me. I choose, I want to grow. I choose to be healthy this morning. I'm talking to fathers. I'm talking to husbands. I'm talking to moms today. I'm talking to sons and daughters this morning. Lord, I take authority, God, over toxicity in the home. Started in me, God. Started in us, God. As a father, Lord. Lord, I take authority over busyness. Over my phone, my apps, my email. Lord, speak to a man right now in the name of Jesus. He's so consumed by getting ahead, he's forgot the very reason why he's there. Of being generous with his time, his talent, his money. Come on, right where you're standing, will you close your eyes? Come on, Holy Spirit. Come on, Holy Spirit. Come on, you're teaching us. Come on, you're teaching us this morning. God, you're reshifting. You're reshifting our priorities this morning. God, you're teaching us how to be a healthy mom, how to be a healthy wife. Lord, you're shifting, God, my priority, Lord, how to be a husband that pursues God. I feel your heartbeat, man of God. You've been so consumed and so busy by chasing a title, by chasing the next dollar. You've left your wife behind. You've left your kids behind. But today's your day, woman of God. Come on, if I'm talking to you this morning, I want you to be the first person down here to say, God, today I choose to reprioritize. I choose to be healthy this morning. I know that I have not been healthy in the way I've been thinking, the way I've been living, the way I've been giving, the way I've been serving. I know that I haven't pursued in my soul Jesus the way you want me to. Who am I talking to this morning? This altar is wide open right now. I'm talking to a man right now that would say, that's me. I'm talking to a mom, a wife. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, come all the way down front. Come on, I'm just going to wait just a few minutes. Just another minute or two. Open. Who wants to be healthy in your marriage, in your ministry, with your kids? Who chooses to be healthy? Who chooses growth? Father, in the name of Jesus, come on, if you're down here, I want you to stretch your hands towards heaven. Come on, ministry, make your way down here. Come on, I really feel the power of God flowing through this altar call right now. Father, we're going to move, Father God, in power. Lord, we're going to see you do it again. Father, I can't do anything about last week, last year, last season, but I feel God on my spirit right now. Lord, I hear you hitting the reset button right now in the heart of a man, in the heart of a woman. So, Father, all over this front of this auditorium this morning, come on, point your hands this way, church. We didn't come here to watch. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we speak life. We speak truth. We speak growth. God, we speak deliverance right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we take authority, God, over every demonic stronghold, Lord, that would try to control us, manipulate us, God. Speak lies about our marriage. Speak lies about our kids. Speak lies about our spouse. Even speak lies about ourselves. Lord, we thank you, Holy Spirit. You are holding the mirror up to us right now. Lord, we ask you, Lord, you didn't come to condemn, but Lord, you came to change. Lord, you didn't come to condemn. God, you came to change us. So, Father, we pray right now, God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, come on, Holy Spirit. Come on, Holy Spirit. Come on, Holy Spirit. Come on, prayer team, get down here. Father, we pray right now, in the name of Jesus, over in each and every one, God, of these men. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Oh, we speak life. We speak truth.
Where there was no way. And I believe.
I believe.
I see you do it again. I see you move. You move the mountains. And I believe. I see you do it again. You made a way. Where there was no way. And I believe. I see you do it again.
Come on, with every hand lifted this morning, we're just going to continue to minister down to this altar. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, God, for what you're doing on this altar call. Lord, I speak, Father God, to everybody listening online right now, their living room, their car. Holy Spirit, I declare, God, healthiness over our church, healthiness over our families, God. Health, Father God, healthiness, Lord, over our marriages, God. Lord, I speak to the wholeness over a man and over a woman, God. Lord, you're not looking for perfection. But God, I thank you, Lord, you're looking for healthiness, wholeness. So Lord, we declare that, God, right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we push back the gates of hell, Lord, against your church, God. Lord, we thank you that our church is whole. Our church is healthy, God. Lord, we thank you that it's made up of men and women that are healthy, men and women that are whole. And we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, every attack of the enemy, Lord, that would come and rob, steal, kill, and destroy, Lord, we push you back through your word, through prayer, through praise, through praying in the Holy Ghost, through our generosity, every part of our being, God. And Lord, we declare, God, if you did it once, you'll do it again.